I'd like you to open your Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Book of Genesis, chapter 24. This is the longest chapter in Genesis, 67 verses, but we're not going to read them all. We're going to turn to Genesis, chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading there at the verse 53. So, Genesis, chapter 24, and the verse 53, please. We're reading here about Abraham's servant, possibly Eliezer, who is now coming to the point where he's winning or gaining a bride for his master's son. And we read what the servant does here in the verse 53. And it says, "And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning. And he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, the Horori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And amen. And God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, if you take time to read through the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, you will find that Paul, among other doctrines, has much to say on the doctrine of the church and what the word of God has to teach about the New Testament church. You will find in doing that that Paul sets before us three figures, three metaphors of what the church is in the eyes of God. In the first chapter, he reminds us that the church is the body, and that Christ is the head of that body, which is the church. And then at the close of the second chapter, he takes a different metaphor, and he likens the church to a building. And he reminds us that this building, the church, is the habitation of God. And then when you come to the fifth chapter, he brings to us the third metaphor that he uses in Ephesians concerning the church. And of course, speaking of the husband and wife relationship, he says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he reminds us here that it's a great mystery. Nevertheless, I speak concerning Christ and the church. And the church there is compared to a bride, and Christ is looked upon as the husband. Now, when you come to the book of Genesis and thinking in terms of brides, you will find that there are four great personalities and four great brides in the book of Genesis. You'll remember, first of all, in her that we have Adam, and the first bride that we have, Eve. Then we have, of course, the story here of Rebecca and of Isaac. Then we have the wonderful story of Jacob and the relationship that he had with his bride Rachel. Then finally we find that Joseph, away in a strange land, receives a Gentile bride. Speaking of the fact, even in the Old Testament, that the Gentiles were going to be brought into the church and going to be made one along with the Jews in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you come to this chapter that we've read from this evening, it's one of those chapters that is rich in typology. We find here that with the whole of the Trinity set before us, and surely when we think of Abraham, we think of God the Father. And it was God the Father's desire and design before even the foundation of the world that Christ would have a bride out of sinful humanity and without spot and without blemish. And one day that bride would be presented faultless to his son. And then, of course, we have not only Abraham speaking of God the Father, but we have Isaac. And of course, Isaac is the one who speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a prefiguring of the story of the cross in the book of Genesis chapter 22 when he's offered up there on Mount Moriah. Your father Abraham said, the Savior saw my day and rejoiced. And on Mount Moriah, I believe Abraham had a vision, a preview of what was to come even at that greatest of all mountains at the place called Calvary. And it's interesting just to mark in passing that before Isaac could have his bride, the experience of the cross, as it were, had to be experienced. He had to go up onto that mountain, reminding us that before the Lord could receive his bride, the church, that he had to trod the winepress alone and to go to the middle place of Calvary and there lay down his life a ransom for many. Then as we think of the Trinity here in the Gospel, we think not only of Abraham and Isaac, but of course as the preeminence of the unnamed servant. And this servant who's not named here in the chapter, but the head of Abraham's household and the commission that he was given to go into the far country, into a distant land, and there seeking to search out a bride for his master's son. And you know, everything in this chapter concerning this servant reminds us of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the greatest evangelist in the world is God the Holy Ghost. There's no evangelism, there's no winning the bride without the help and the power of God the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And you remember the Lord speaking, and among other things, about the work of the Holy Spirit. He said that he will convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And it's only the Spirit of God who can operate and transform the sinner and bring them to Christ. And so as you look here in this chapter, we find with the whole of the Trinity brought before us, giving us a glimpse and an understanding, as it were, of God's so great salvation. But I want you to think of the bride here and move beyond the cross in Genesis chapter 22. And the bride has been brought to the place of decision there in verse 58. And it says, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And here, even though we're reminded of the sovereignty and responsibility of man and salvation, you see, you remember that lovely promise in John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth to me. That's the sovereignty of God in salvation, that God has a people to be a bride for His Son. That's the sovereignty of God in salvation. But here's the responsibility of man. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. And so what takes place in eternity is ratified in time and verified, and the sinner has to make their decision and say, I will go. Somebody came to D.L. Moody, the evangelist, and they said to him, Mr. Moody, who are the elect and who are the non-elect? That's a hard chestnut, isn't it? And Mr. Moody, with his usual wit and wisdom, he said, well, the elect are the whosoever wills, and the non-elect are the whosoever won't. And that's it absolutely right in a nutshell. Whosoever will come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever is athirst, come. And if you're a thirsty soul, you can confirm and make assure your election by responding to the divine invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And the Lord says, I will give you rest. And so we see the bride here making her decision. But it doesn't stop there. That's only the beginning in the pilgrim's progress of the spiritual life. And I just want you to look at one or two things concerning Rebecca here and her relationship with Isaac that correspond with your spiritual life and mine. And you know, the first thing is this, her learning about Isaac. Her learning about Isaac. I have no doubt that this young bride-to-be had a million and a thousand and one questions to ask the servant about Isaac. Is he tall? Is he rich? Is he handsome? What is he like as a person? Is he kind? Is he generous? Why did he have to send so far for a wife? There was so much that she had to learn about the one whom, having not seen, yet she loved. And so it is when it comes to being a child of God. The first thing you've got to do is to put up the L plates. And a lifetime experience of learning begins. And you've got to start and learn of the one and about the one who said, learn of me. And of course, this was the work and the ministry of the servant and the delight of the servant. Abraham's servant, nothing giving more joy than to be able to speak of his master's son and to tell Rebecca all about him. And you know, child of God, that's the work of the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit in regard to the child of God. The Lord hasn't left his orphans. He's given us a comforter. And I want you to turn to one or two references that you'll find in the upper room. And they're very important to underline in God's Word. And key verses when it comes to learning about Christ. Look first of all in John 14 and verse 26. And the Savior said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Listen, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And here he reminds him of that promise here. He shall teach you all things. And then turn over the page to chapter 15 and the verse 26. And again the Lord is speaking of the Comforter. And I want you to underline this. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father. Listen, he shall testify of me. And of course, to testify is to bear witness. And this was the work of the Holy Spirit, is to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally there, among other references, in chapter 16 and the verses 13 to 16. And the Lord in chapter 6 and verse 13, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And when it talks about all truth, it's not talking about the Book of Mormon or some other false religious book, but it's talking about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth, says John and Christ in John 17. Each will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. And so don't you see here, penned graphically, the person and work of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. He doesn't speak of himself, but rather he exalts the Savior. Said of D.L. Moody when Dr. F.B. Meyer heard him preach and someone said to him, well, what did you think of Moody preaching? And F.B. Meyer made this lovely comment. He said, well, as far as Moody was concerned, it was as if he never heard of himself. He so exalted Christ, he was hidden far behind the cross, that they saw no man save Jesus only. I wonder, Christian, are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can have a relationship, but you don't have really fellowship. One of the saddest funerals I ever did was after the funeral service. I was talking to the lady at home later on in the week, and she said to me, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, Mr. Barnes, I never really knew my husband. I never really knew my husband. She lived with him, she cooked for him, she had his children. But when it came to really enjoying a personal acquaintance and relationship with her husband, she said, I never really knew my husband. Is that how it is? Child of God with Christ tonight, oh, you know all about him. You know the facts as they're laid down in the Word of God. But oh, is there that desire to go on and to know more about him? We were singing tonight, were we not? More about Jesus would I know. That ought to be the desire of our lives as we make our way to heaven. Lord, through your Spirit in the Word of God, teach me more about my Savior. Her learning about Isaac. On the journey home, there was much to learn. But then notice not only her learning about Isaac, but notice quickly her longing for Isaac. Her longing for Isaac. For I'm convinced that the more Rebecca learned about Isaac, the more her heart yearned to love him and to know him even more. And she was learning to love him, not just because of the gifts that she had received. And you'll notice that there in verse 53. It says, and the servant brought forth jewels of gold and jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebecca. And could you see any young girl and she gets gifts of jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment? And when it talks about raiment there, it means of most beautiful garments of silk that money could buy, a wardrobe, and what gifts she received. And I've no doubt they made an impact upon her, and she was delighted with the gifts. But you know, on the journey home, as she was making her way with Abraham's servant, I believe she got to the stage when she got beyond the gifts, and she wanted to know more about the giver himself. And you know, that's very important in the Christian life. And we thank God for all the gifts that he gives to us and all the spiritual blessings that have been bestowed upon us through union with Christ. But, beloved, it shouldn't stop there. And beyond the gifts, our desire should be to know and to love the giver himself, for who he is and for what he has done for us upon the cross. Do you remember Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3 and verse 10? 25 years on the road since he met Christ on the road to Damascus. And he writes to the Philippian believers, and he says that I may know him. That I may know him. I may know him. Tell me, is that your ambition? Is that your desire? Oh, you hear a lot of talk about the gifts, but you hear so little talk about the giver. Do you remember David put it this way? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, that I may know him. A.B. Simpson wrote that lovely hymn entitled Himself. In the first verse he said, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. It's lovely when you get to that place like Mary, on that first Easter morning, and you remember the Lord just uttered one word, and he said, Mary. And Mary recognized his voice. The voice is the sound of many waters, and there was music, and Harry spoke her name, Mary, and she turned and she said, Rabboni, Rabboni, Master, Lord, Master. And she got to that place where it was just Mary and Rabboni. And it's lovely when you get to the place when it's just you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you love him just for who he is in himself. Oh, her longing for Isaac. The more she'll learned about him, the more she longed for him. But then notice something else quickly here. Notice her looking for Isaac. Her looking for Isaac. Because if you move down the chapter there to verse 64, we'll look at 63 just to get the connection. It says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And here's her looking for Isaac. She sees somebody, a shadowy figure in the distance, and she inquires, who is it? And she's told that it's Isaac, my master's son. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, and she ran to meet him. She was looking for her Isaac. And so it is for the child of God. Believer tonight, you know, that's our upward look in these days. Remember, Paul says, looking for that blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And you'll mark the fact there that it says in verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, when it was getting dark and the day was almost gone and the sun was about to set. It was that moment she looked and she saw Isaac, and Isaac appeared on the horizon. And you know, the darker it gets in this old world, thank God, the more we look for the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's the morning star of our salvation. He's the Son of Righteousness who will come again with healing in his wings. And though she was looking forward with anticipation to meeting the one that she loved. And you know, isn't that the lovely truth about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the thrill, the thing that thrills us most of all, that Jesus is coming again. Remember, Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians 4, and he says, for the Lord himself shall descend. For the Lord himself shall descend. And oh, we are looking for the personal, visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our blessed hope. The old preachers used to say they weren't looking for the undertaker, they were looking for the uptaker. And you know, the Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I laugh at Bible teachers sometimes, and I mean this sincerely. And they've it all worked out in the recharge, what's going to happen? When the Lord's going to come, and they've all the I's dotted and the T's stroked. But you know, the Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's coming as a thief in the night, coming unexpectedly. And a thief usually comes in the dark. When our Lord comes, I believe He'll come at the darkest hour of this old world. And at midnight the cry will go up, behold, the Bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet Him. And you know, if you're saved, you can co-join with the last prayer of the church in the book of the Revelation. When the Bride cries out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm longing for the Lord to come. Are you not sick of the filth and the dirt and the strife and the tensions of this old world? Are you looking for a new Jerusalem and a new heaven and a new earth? And where the Prince of Peace will reign as King forever and ever. You know, I think of a young policeman who, in the early days of the Troubles, and like many of the gallant RUC men, he was slain, he was butchered, he was murdered by the IRA. But he went along to a free church one night, several nights, and one night he stayed behind and he got saved. A young police constable, not long out of training, he came to know the Lord and went on well with the Lord. And then there was an attack of the IRA. The young policeman was butchered, he was done to death. And his mother wasn't a Christian, and of course she was heartbroken. And you know, when friends went into the house to see his remains in the coffin, there he was with his hands folded. And his mother had put on his chest his Bible that he loved and he treasured since he became a Christian. And the mother was brokenhearted. An awful thing for a mother to lose her son in such circumstances. After the funeral service, some weeks later, the mother decided to go to an evangelical church, try and find some comfort. And when she went to the church, she heard the gospel, the same gospel that saved her son, and she came to know Christ as her Savior as well. And the preacher who dealt with her, he said to her, "Are you sure about your salvation?" And she says, "I'm absolutely sure." And she says, "Isn't it wonderful now that I've become a Christian, that I can look forward to seeing, no, not my son, I can look forward to seeing my Savior." The natural thing would have been to say, "my son," but the spiritual thing to say was, "my Savior." And you know, that's the blessed hope of every child of God. "I shall know Him. I shall know Him. As redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hands." And what a day when we see Him, the one when faith will be replaced by sight, and we'll know Him and we'll cry out like Thomas, "my Lord and my God." But notice one final thought, and it's this: her lodging with Isaac. Her lodging with Isaac. You know, there's a lovely little final touch painted there in the verse 67. And it says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her." Oh, what a story that is. You know, we say so much and yet we say so little. The Bible says so little and yet it says so much. And you know what would have happened here is this, that when Isaac came home with his bride, she was presented to Abraham, and after resting, my, there would have been the marriage supper. And what a wedding that would have been for Abraham and for his son Isaac and his bride. What a wedding. And you know, sometimes in the East, a wedding feast would last a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and even 4 weeks. You'd be glad you weren't picking up the tab for that, wouldn't you? And that's why possibly they ran out of wine in the marriage of Cana of Galilee. It went on and on. And eventually they found themselves running out of wine. And what a marriage supper. And what a time of rejoicing and feasting. And you know, beloved, thank God the prospects opening to the Christian's view are grander as the days go by. Do you know what this book talks about in the book of the Revelation? It talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And one day we're going to sit down and we're going to see Christ face to face. And we're going to partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're not only going to be like Him, but we're going to be with Him for all eternity. You know, the Lord Jesus said in John 14 and verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. Rebekah lodged from that day on with Isaac, and we'll lodge with our heavenly Isaac, thank God, in the land that is fairer than day. Isn't it a great thing to be a Christian and to be a member, not of the Free Presbyterian Church, I thank God for that, but to be a member of the Bride of Christ and to know that Jesus is coming again. May the Lord bless these thoughts of His Word to all of our hearts.